So just over a month ago, we started the Crimson Thread at Home thing here at Promise with the challenge of reading through the book of Genesis. And we kind of wanted to do this message a month into it because this can be the time when you just get bored and maybe life gets in the way and we kind of stop reading or whatever. So I got some questions for you. You know, I like to ask questions. What is the point of reading the Bible? Have you ever felt like it doesn't make sense? Yes? Why does Pastor Scott always talk about the crimson thread? Won't he just shut up? No, I won't. What comes to mind when you hear the word stories? So this is a question that I ask myself because I struggle with the term Bible stories. And here's why. So the word story, it's an English language problem. So I asked people, adults and children, like 5 years ago about this story. When you hear the word story, or stories, what do you think of? And the answer, I gave them no context other than that question. And the answer that I got to that was Disney princesses, fairy tales, Harry Potter, things like that. You know, things that aren't real. And so when we constantly talk about these Bible stories in the Bible, I think over the years it's become, well, that's just another fairy tale in the Bible. And that term bothered me, Bible stories. And this is really where it all began for me. This Bible stories, I didn't like it. Because the Bible isn't just a bunch of random stories. These are real events concerning real people in a real time. And so that's why I will always say, most of the time, Bible events. And I've trained the staff to say that as well. And if they say story, Bible story, they have to run around our property a couple times. Real events containing real people. They're not fairy tales. It's not just another story about a Disney princess. And so the Bible is one. That's what I have on this next slide here. The Bible is one, O-N-E, it's one narrative of events connected by the crimson thread. And that's the way I envision this, is the Bible is one, this is one book, right? Weaved in and out of it is this crimson thread, which of course is Jesus. So in Scripture, there are all kinds of motifs or themes, if you will, that you can ride the thread through Scripture on. For example, you can do water all the way through the Bible connected by the crimson thread. You can do trees. You can do mountains. You've heard me do a sermon series on mountains. You can do sheep. We talked about sheep last week, all the way through the Bible that tells the whole event of the Bible. This has been what has made the Bible make sense to me. The Holy Spirit has just used this that's up on the screen to help me, Scott Hedke, make sense of the Bible. And this is nothing that I've made up that hasn't been made up before, that hasn't been figured out by people way smarter than me. But this is how I've been able to make sense, and the Holy Spirit has used this to help me connect all kinds of dots in the Bible that I just really didn't see before. And so let's take a closer look at what Jesus says here in the Bible, and I just read it, and I'm going to read it again. When Jesus was in the upper room with those disciples, after he rose from the tomb, and listen carefully to what Jesus says here. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And remember, at that time, they didn't have the New Testament like we do. They just had the Old Testament. And Jesus is telling them that everything in the Old Testament is about me. And I have fulfilled everything in the Old Testament, in the prophets, in the law of Moses, in the Psalms. And so Jesus connected the dots for the disciples. Jesus is the crimson thread woven through the whole Bible, every single page. I just wanted to give you just a couple examples. In Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9, it's when the Israelites are wandering in the desert. They've been wandering for a while, and guess what? They're complaining again and whining to Moses and to God about many things. You know, they had it better in Egypt where they were slaves. They thought they had it better there. And so God is mad at them and sends fiery serpents. Do you remember this event? Not just a random story in the Bible. Sent fiery serpents into their camp and started biting people. And some of them started dying. And then Moses, on behalf of the people, goes to God, and God says, oh, make this rod and put this bronze serpent on it. Anybody who looks to that bronze serpent will be healed immediately and saved. Doesn't this seem like an odd event if you didn't know the whole narrative of Scripture? Well, listen to what Jesus says about this event in John chapter 3. He's talking to Nicodemus here. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Jesus is talking, of course, about himself. And the one being lifted up is him onto a cross, that whoever believes in him will be saved. Just like in the Old Testament, in that event of the fiery serpents, everyone who looked upon that bronze serpent was saved. Not a coincidence. It just points to God's ultimate plan of salvation that will be fulfilled by Jesus. Isn't that cool? Well, I find it cool. One other event that everybody knows about. In fact, there's even people that call themselves Christians that think this is not a real event. But it is. It's the event. See, I almost slipped. The event of Jonah in the Old Testament. Jonah is one of the prophets that was called to go somewhere to preach the good news. And what did Jonah do? He went in the opposite direction. I know nothing about the attitude of Jonah, by the way. I don't know about you. But he went in the opposite direction, and God basically had him thrown into the sea, and he swallowed by a great fish, by the way. It wasn't a whale. We always say Jonah and the whale. Remember, this event is in every single children's Bible because it's a cute little event, right? And swallows Jonah and spits him out to where he was supposed to go in the first place, which was Nineveh. And listen to what Jesus says about this. If this was just some little nice little story, would Jesus say this in response to the Pharisees who are looking for a sign from Jesus? But he answered them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Obviously, again, he's talking about himself being fulfilled. You see, the event of Jonah being swallowed by that fish is doing nothing other than pointing to Jesus, who is going to be buried, dead and buried, and then rise 3 days later. When you read, those are just two examples, by the way. I could spend the rest of the week, but nobody wants to sit here the rest of the week, right, and listen to this. But when you read anywhere in the Bible, and you keep the crimson thread in your mind, I don't care where you're reading, God's word will take on a whole new meaning. And it becomes extremely fascinating. Books like Leviticus, that talks a lot about blood, becomes exciting. Revelation now makes sense. Instead of focusing on all the scary imagery, keep in your mind that Jesus is already on the throne. The Lamb of God who has been slain is already reigning on the throne, has already defeated sin, death, and the devil. We don't have to worry about all that scary imagery. Revelation makes sense. You see, Jesus opened up the disciples' eyes to the scriptures, and it all started clicking for them. And the more we understand and see that the Bible is simply one narrative of events, connected by the crimson thread, connected by Jesus, the more we will understand, the more the Holy Spirit's going to open your eyes, just like he did with me, which is why I always want to share this with you. Because reading God's word is life transforming. The Holy Spirit works through this one narrative of events, and he strengthens your faith through it. But we got to read it. We got to study it. We got to look at it. We got to listen to it. We have to talk about it. And the more we do that, the more we're going to realize that it's not a boring book. It's not exciting. It is. So which leads to this whole thing, the crimson thread at home. Which is why we started this with the book of Genesis. Because the crimson thread does not end in Revelation 22, which is the last chapter of the Bible. It doesn't just stop there. The crimson thread continues to weave itself through each and every one of you. And into your homes. So this is the importance of bringing God's word home and reading it and talking about it and studying it and listening to it, especially if you have kids in your home. Listen to these words from Deuteronomy chapter 6. These are the words that Moses gives the people before they're going to enter the promised land. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So in the Old Testament, they called this the Shema. And so simply, this is a creed. This is one of the creeds they said, one of the things they confessed and believed. If we are totally relying on only hearing God's word when we're here together on Sunday morning, we are in big trouble. Because think of the tidal wave of stuff that we are encountered with on a daily basis in our country, in our world. The 1 hour a week here can't compare to that. Because we're all walking around with many computers and we have access to all this information literally 24/7. So the George Barna Group does, surveys and things like that, and they do one on the state of the Bible in America. And this is a couple years old, but it's very similar. So 4 out of 10 Americans somewhat or strongly agree that the Bible, the Quran, and the Book of Mormon have the same spiritual truths. 40% of the people in our country believe that. The Quran, of course, is the Bible of the Muslims, and the Mormons are not Christian. And then they ask this question, and I can ask you this question too. How often do you use the Bible on your own, not counting at church? The answers to this question, 50% of the people said they use it less than 2 times a year or they never use it. Where would you fall in on that? So here are some of the reasons as to why people gave that they don't, read the Bible on their own. I don't know where to start. We've given you somewhere to start, the book of Genesis. The layout is difficult, really. Really? Events are confusing. At least they use the word events. They're not confusing, especially when you see the crimson thread connecting them throughout. I can't find what I'm looking for. Again, really? In this day and age when we have all the technology, you can't find what you're looking for? Here's one. Not exciting. Well, clearly they haven't read the book of Genesis. We just went through in our Wednesday Bible class this past Wednesday through Genesis 17 through 19. And if it was a movie and we were to rate it, it would be whatever's after rated R. It'd be rated RR. You're telling me the Bible's not exciting? You clearly haven't read it. Not enough time. I think that's probably one we all use, including myself. I have no problem finding time to sit on my butt doing nothing at home. If we are not sharing God's word with each other, with those that are in our house especially, there's someone who is more than happy to pick up the slack. And who's that? Satan. Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment, trying to be tricked by those Pharisees? And he references Deuteronomy 6. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's essentially the Ten Commandments summed up by Jesus. You see, God's desire is that we love him with our whole everything. He wants to be number one on our priority list. And not only wants it, he commands it. It's not like he says, if you're up to it, love the Lord your God with all your heart. If you're not too busy. No, he says love. So think about that for a second. Number one on your priority list. That's above everything else, including our families. Just breaking this Deuteronomy 6 passage down here. It says to talk about this with your kids. And don't think you're exempt, by the way, if you don't have kids in your home. When you sit in your house, how many of you are ever sitting in your house? This is a time you can talk to your kids about God, about Jesus, what he did for us. You can read something in God's word. You can listen to something. When you walk by the way, well, back in that day, they walked everywhere. We drive everywhere. What about when you're driving with your kids or whoever's in your car? Take that as an opportunity to talk to your kids about Christ, or talk to your spouse, or if you're by yourself, talk to yourself. Sometimes I find that when I'm by myself in my truck, that is the best time I can pray. I don't close my eyes and fold my hands. When you lie down. So I don't tell you this because I want you to think I'm super pious, because I have plenty of faults. But something I started with my kids when they were young is, when we put them to bed, is I gave them a blessing. And now they still want it, even as teenagers. And sometimes if I forget to do it, they'll do it to me. It's just a little thing. And I know a lot of people, I've heard a lot of you say, you know, you pray with your kids at night. That's awesome. When you rise, when you get up in the morning, how about the first thing be, remind them how much Jesus loves them, loves each other. Bind them as a sign and write them on your doorposts. Having signs and messages around your house reminding you of God's word is a great thing. So why is the crimson thread at home important? God's word is very clear why it's important. In 2 Timothy, Timothy, a pastor, one of the first ever pastors of a Christian church, was told this by Paul, who wrote him this letter. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now dwells in you as well. See, Timothy was taught by his grandma Lois and his mom Eunice. And now he's a pastor. We are to be talking about God's word with the people in our homes, whoever they might be. We all would probably agree we need to be reading and talking about God's word more, wouldn't we? We really want to, but... So what's your big but? You know, the Israelite parents and grandparents were probably pretty excited to tell their children, their grandchildren, other adults on how God did some amazing things for them. Think about these people. They got to see God split a sea in half. They got to see water come out of a rock. They got to see manna come down from the sky, and the list goes on and on. Well, guess what? We also have exciting and awesome things to share with those close to us, especially the gospel of the crimson thread. You know, we have such a loving Father who sent his one and only Son to take on human flesh, to be one of us sheep. We talked about that last week, in order that he could be sacrificed on our behalf, which, by the way, is a huge theme motif in the whole Bible, because the only way that sin can be taken care of is there has to be blood shed, there has to be a life taken. And that's what Jesus, the Son of God, did for you. And that's what we have to share with those closest to us. Because Jesus died for all sins, even those times that we neglect his word, those times that we bump him from our number one spot on our lists. He died for those sins too. Because he loves us that much. So what do you think, people of promise? Let's bring that crimson thread from the Bible into your homes. Who's with me? Amen. Let's pray.